This podcast mini-series is part of the Dare to Journey campaign led by We Are Tier Fund. We hope that by listening to the lived experiences of people who have fled their home country, this will help inform you how to stand in solidarity with your global neighbours.
My name is Iván Monzón. I am from Guatemala. This is a small country very near to Mexico in Latin America. And I'm working there. I'm living there in Guatemala.
Were you born in Guatemala?
Yes. Okay, yes, cool. I was born in Guatemala.
So when you say you work there, what does your work involve?
Oh, I work there with thousands of teenagers and youth and in different slums, living in urban communities mainly. Mm. So they are from 13 years old to 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And I work with many churches, helping the churches to work with them in a more effective manner, like preventing different risk behaviors like suicide or violence, armed violence in the community, drug consumption, alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
And so this is my everyday life.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot to a lot of different issues and things that have that you work with.
Yes. We have a lot of different issues at the same time because many of the teenagers in Guatemala City, they are coming from the countryside after the war we had in Guatemala City. Mm-hmm. We had an armed conflict for 36 years. Many of them, they needed to run to Guatemala City from the countryside and to rebuild the life.
Yeah.
So they are locating in some slums with just a few resources to survive, some informal houses and not having enough opportunities to get a formal job.
Yeah.
Even if they finish the secondary school, they are trying to discover a sense of life in the middle of this context.
Mm. And so that conflict that you talked about, When did that take place?
The conflict started in the 60s, okay. and it finished in 1996.
Oh, okay.
So it was a long process of violence in Guatemala. And so these teenagers right now, they are about the second generation after the armed conflict in Guatemala.
Yeah.
But then in this neighborhood, we have an situation with the gangs controlling the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So many of those teenagers, they cannot easily go out from their houses because they are scared to be forced to become a gang member.
Yeah.
Or they are afraid of some extortion or some, insecurity. The girls are afraid about the sexual violence in the streets.
Yeah.
And so they are willing to survive in this context, but they are also having a great life community, having links with some friends. This is a city.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of things in the city. And Guatemala, the good news is Guatemala, its life is cheaper.
Yeah.
So the food is cheaper. You can easily get some food. You can go some basic services that are not that expensive than in the largest cities.
Yeah.
So people try to survive.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting for you yourself personally. Is that something that you had to do yourself? Did you experience any of that conflict firsthand or secondhand?
I was born in a neighborhood that is beside a dump lot in Guatemala City, the main dump lot. Mm-hmm. So I saw in my childhood, I saw the first gangs starting in Guatemala, and the first gangs fighting in the street were just in front of my corner, just in the other side of my window.
Yeah.
So I heard, and at that time they used knives, sticks. They didn't have a lot of weapons like now.
Yeah.
So I remember that. So in my family, it's because my family, we were middle level of economic income that became poor across the armed conflict.
Yeah.
So it was complicated because we had a middle level mining way to think and to act and expectations, but our resources were not there. So it was really frustrating sometimes. My mother was a teacher in a secondary school. Mm-hmm. And teachers in Guatemala are not gaining a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So my father went, they got divorced. My grandmother was sick, and then my mother got cancer.
Oh,
I had some alcoholic relatives living with us in the family. So I think it was a difficult time. So I can say that myself, I experienced some of those, problems that put you in, in the perspective to say, what is the sense of life in this context? And what can I do with my life, with my future?
Yeah. So is that why you wanted to start working with young people who went through similar things?
Yes. Actually, I was shocked because of the violence in my country. And I made a commitment with God to keep working in supporting some teenagers and youth to survive. Not only to survive, but to have a different sense of life.
Yeah.
Because this is not only in how to survive. And I think that we all, well, the people that lives in cities, we know the city could be like a huge jungle with buildings.
Yeah.
And you need to like try to survive from the secondary school, the bullying and some other problems,
mm-hmm.
and then the traffic, and then the competition to get a job. So it's a jungle, actually.
Yeah.
And in the middle of this process, you need to discover what's God's purpose in your life, and you need to learn how to lean on these life goals, and not just giving up in the middle of this jungle.
Yeah. What was it about Christianity, about God, that helped you to say, I'm not going to get dragged into that? I know that I have more of a purpose.
I had the privilege to have some good connection with some people who actually loved me, and I think that if you have different adversity in your life, for example, a relative in jail or in prison, someone died in your family, and then you have some sexual violence, you suffer some sexual violence or abuse, or you have some sickness or any problem. But you know you are a person that someone loves.
Yeah.
You have this kind of sense of hope.
Mm.
The problem is that the many, many youth, many teenagers, they feel completely lonely.
Yeah.
Even if they are in the middle of a huge family with 8 people, they can feel lonely. So in my case, the love of my family was something that helping me to discover that there is hope, despite of everything. And God put someone in the church that he was really interested in helping me. And we had a mentoring process across about 4 years. So for me to reconnect with my father fully and to rebuild a friendship, relationship with him, it took about 4 years.
Yeah.
So when people say that, I forgive you because you did that, forgiving is not just a moment. It's a process that could take longer. But the problem is that I have discovered with some teenagers that if they don't heal from inside, and if they leave their homes, if they go to any place, to the States or to Germany to get a job, they will carry the pain with them. So for me, the advisory I can give to many youth in Guatemala, it's don't just leave.
Yeah.
Heal. So this is it's a most important thing to do. Heal.
Yeah.
And it takes time. It's not easy. In Guatemala, it's very common to take revenge because the justice system is not working very well.
Yeah.
So if someone put a demand in the courts, they will not easily get a solution of the situation. Right. So many people is willing to take care of their own, justice.
Yeah.
And even there is a huge industry of professional killers that can be contracted to do something else because this the justice system is not running well. So someone just say that, okay, I need to take a revenge of this person in this manner.
Yeah.
But I have discovered that anyone, even in a countries where there are a lot of violence, they all are human beings. There are some light from God in their lives. This like thing you can see in others' dignity that can tell you that there is something that God put in this person, and then you can take this as an advantage to connect with this person and to talk about God's love.
Yeah. Wow, that's really amazing. Really big challenge, I think.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's difficult when you are wronged and you don't see justice happen. And, you know, we see in the Bible, God says, you know, justice is mine. But there's also times where you think, okay, I'm looking at my watch. When is it coming?
Yes, it's actually, forgiveness is difficult even when you have faith and love, because it's like giving your case in the hands of someone that is more just than you.
Mm.
But it's just putting this in the cross, or putting this in a place where you know that God is not forgiving it.
Mm.
God is not, you know, letting it just go just like this, but you are not responsible. And this is the problem that many teenagers, they want to take the responsibility to change what is not possible to be changed.
Yeah.
And they get frustrated.
Yeah.
But the point is not what are you doing to change your situation. Is when you cannot change it, how can you depend on God's will?
Yeah.
And this is very difficult sometimes, because there are some very painful experiences. And we have the question, where God was at this moment when it happened to me. I need to know why God allowed me to do that.
Mm.
And I remember that one of the things I was thinking about my father is why he did that to me.
Mm.
But then when I working in forgiveness, I realized that he didn't actually did it to me. He did it because he took some wrong decisions and I was in the middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes it's not that the world or your parents or God is doing something wrong to you.
Mm.
It's that you are in the middle of someone else's path. And then the question is, what is the sense of my life at the end of the day? And then you can remember without pain.
Yeah. I think that's such an incredible and important lesson, because I think a lot of the times when we think about working to end injustice, we do get into a space where we're like, these people have done X, Y, and Z, and they're making these people's lives bad, they're making my life bad, and they should suffer for that. But really, like you said, it's as hard as it is to make it not personal, it's not really about you, it's more that these people are experiencing a broken
world. I think that one thing I have discovered is that many youth, they have this sense of shame of themselves. And then because they, you know, they suffer some physical violence or some exclusion or some, you know, bullying at the school.
Yeah.
And then they grow up with this kind of sense of shame.
Mm.
So they used to become self-defensive.
Mm.
That means that when some authority comes, when someone comes to judge you, you will be more like receptive to feel ashamed.
Yeah.
So many youth are aggressive or are very responsive because actually they are protecting themselves from this feeling of being ashamed.
Yeah.
So when you are more self-confident and you discover that you are a beloved person from God, this sense of shame is going out.
Yeah.
And there is a Bible portion where it say that God takes away our shame.
Mm, yeah.
And it replaces it with joys.
Yeah.
So this is not just an instant moment.
Mm.
It's a long life process.
Thank you for listening. Please take time now to both pray for the issues raised and also to share this story with someone you know. Let's keep raising awareness together of the refugee crisis.